Welcome to the Danny Picard Show. This is a bonus edition of the Danny Picard Show. Tuesday, November 14th, 2017. Broadcasting from the Beantown Athletics Studio. Beantown Athletics, Boston's go-to destination for customized screen printing and embroidery. Get more information on their website, beantownathletics.com. And this is a bonus edition because I usually only record two shows a week, but with WWE Survivor Series this Sunday night and a lot going on in the world of professional wrestling, I wanted to bring in Justin Barrasso from Sports Illustrated. He is Sports Illustrated's pro wrestling insider. Justin, what's going on? How are you doing today?
Hey, thank you for having me on. It's a Thanksgiving Day tradition, right? The Survivor Series. So thrilled to discuss with you. And being a little biased like you as a Boston guy, I can't wait to get into some Boston facts.
We will. We have a lot to get to. But before we do, I just have to give a couple reads. With the bonus show, I was thinking, do I even have to give these reads for the bonus show? But we might as well, right? So today's show, this bonus show, is presented by DraftKings. Play for free at DraftKings.com or on the DraftKings app by using my promo code PICK. That's P-I-C. This bonus show is also presented by the Dorchester Group. The Dorchester Group is a full-service real estate agency specializing in the sale of properties in the Boston area. So do yourself a favor and put someone from the neighborhood in your corner. Call the Dorchester Group today at 617-869-4464. That's 617-869-4464. Or go to their website, thedorchestergroupre.com. Maximize your return today with the Dorchester Group. So once again, Justin, bring you in. And like you said, we got a lot going on. But the Boston ties to Survivor Series, tell me more. I know you got a whole notepad full of stats and facts and information over there. What do you got?
I think, you know, since we are in November, too, it's nice that you read the ads because we're in the season of giving thanks, right? There's that 89 Survivor Series where the wrestlers they open the show with, you know, what they're thankful for. And the great DiBiase one says, I'm rich and you're not, throws his money in the air. Dusty's thankful for his polka dots. But the 1993 Survivor Series, that was the only pay-per-view ever to take place at the Boston Garden.
Really?
Yeah.
Only pay-per-view?
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah, lots of shows at the TD Garden.
Oh, because when you said that, I'm going, no, sir. I was at WrestleMania 14, but then I think, well, that was at the Fleet Center at the time, which is now the TD Garden, obviously. That was the new building.
And you know, and they obviously changed their pay-per-view format like right as the Garden was demolished, right? They had so many more shows back in the era of the four major pay-per-views. They did a lot of stuff.
They didn't have In Your House back then, did
not
they?
Not yet. So that's the era of like the Fleet Center, and here we are now. But no, the Survivor Series is the only pay-per-view at the Boston Garden. I did a double take on that too, to be honest.
What's your favorite pay-per-view?
Like the actual pay-per-view?
Any pay-per-view.
Not a year, just the brand.
It doesn't matter. Any pay-per-view in professional wrestling.
I love the Royal Rumble. It's January. It's the beginning of the year, so many opportunities. I hate to use the word like foreplay, but it's that build to WrestleMania. Mania, you're there, right? You're at the dance, but you're figuring everything out at the Royal Rumble. I love the Rumble. I loved it as a kid. I love it as an adult for different reasons, but I think the Rumble is so special. And that's actually one of the reasons why this Survivor Series on Sunday is so special. I think it's a test run of what they can do at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a lot of, once we look back on this pay-per-view on Sunday, we're going to look back and think, oh, that made a lot of connections to Mania. So I think this is a pretty big show on Sunday.
All right. So like you said, Survivor Series on Sunday. And really the biggest story right now is the recent shakeups. I mean, there's been a couple shakeups, right? And the biggest one is the WWE Championship. AJ Styles won the WWE Championship. He beat Jinder Mahal at SmackDown last week. And nobody saw that coming because they were doing all the promos for Brock Lesnar, Universal Champion, versus Jinder Mahal, WWE Champion. That was the match that was set, sort of written in stone, I guess you could say, for Survivor Series. And then they had AJ Styles win the title off Jinder Mahal, which means now it's Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles. It was a last-minute shakeup. It shocked the wrestling world. I don't disagree with it. I think it's a great move. I think that AJ Styles should be the champion. I also think the belt should be on the line. I have no idea why they're not on the line. They're not on the line, right?
They're not on the line, no.
That doesn't make any sense to me. They should be on the line. They're not on the line, but if you're going to give the title to anybody, if anyone's going to have it to fight Brock Lesnar, it should be AJ Styles. But why the shakeup? Why did they do this And why'd they do it at the last minute?
It's so interesting because Jinder Mahal, and I like the fact that Mahal was champion for so long. I would have liked him to keep the belt till Mania, though I'm thrilled at Styles Lesnar on Sunday. Jinder Mahal was a flop as WWE champion. They built him up for the India trip. He's fighting Triple H now in India. The ticket numbers aren't released, but they went from two shows to one. Now it's one mega show. So obviously you're not canceling a show and making it one when the ticket sales are high, right? So I think the Mahal flop as champion was a big part of it.
Yeah.
But also, kind of quietly, there was a new premiere on the USA Network after that SmackDown. I don't think that's the reason they changed the title, because clearly they are all in on Survivor Series. They're cutting out the new talent. I want to talk about a numbers game in that 5-on-5 traditional men's match, because the numbers are staggering, the ages of the participants. They cut all the young guys out. They went all old. They went all veteran. They really want to sell this pay-per-view. They want to sell the network. But Mahal was a flop as champ A. It didn't move the needle in India, which I think they're starting to realize not going to now. And there was a new premiere of a show on the USA Network. USA has always been good to them. I think that's the reason they did it that particular night as a draw into the next show, too. I think that was part of it as a tip of the cap to the USA Network.
Yeah, but if the Jinder Mahal championship reign was a flop, as you said, didn't they already know that? Why did they have to wait 2 weeks before Survivor Series to actually change that and come up with the shakeup? Wouldn't they have already known like a month ago that it was a flop?
They make decisions when they make decisions, and they decided that they needed to revamp that show clearly because it wasn't selling. Now, it wasn't selling live with tickets. It wasn't selling buy rates with the network. All of a sudden, though, look what happened. You have Styles Brock Lesnar now in that championship match. That's a main event. Any show of the year.
Sure.
You bring back Kurt Angle. You bring back Shane McMahon. And last Monday night, they bring back Triple H. That is incredible. That 5-on-5 match, those 10 competitors have a combined 64 championships. Now, granted, it's wrestling. It's not like you're winning an MMA title. You're competing for this. Someone decides you win the belt. But the fact that these guys have combined for 64 titles, and it's some of the biggest names in wrestling, some of the oldest, actually, too. I think that match, if you don't mind if I jump into it.
No, go ahead.
That match, it's Braun Strowman. He's the youngest guy in that match. He's 34. Samoa Joe, 38. Kurt Angle, 48. Triple H, 48. Finn Balor, 36. And their opponent, Cena, 40. He's part-time. Randy Orton, 37.
Is Finn Balor only... he's 36 already? I thought he was younger than that.
Shane McMahon, 47. Bobby Roode, I think this is a head-scratcher. He's 40. And...
I knew that, yeah.
Okay, he's been around.
He's been around for a while.
And Nakamura's 37.
Nakamura's 37?
37.
Some of these guys are older than I thought. I did know Roode was older. I didn't know Nakamura and Finn Balor were that old.
And it shows because they've been around for 15 years, right? Now, granted, not in WWE. I love the fact, though, I don't think Jason Jordan's getting enough credit. It's hard to be disliked, right? It's one thing to have apathetic fans towards you, but people were so against him on the ring on Monday. I love the fact that,
I was against him on the ring on Monday.
But that's perfect. Now, can they do anything with it, right? I don't know. The angle's not good, right? His angle's son and the storytelling behind him being Kurt Angle's, make-believe son is foolish, but, can they turn that into something? He is so unlikable in that role. I love the fact the crowd went wild when he got pedigreed last Monday night. Can they turn that into something that's kind of on Jordan a little bit too? I don't know. I hope so.
Well, it looks you hear people talking about Triple H and Kurt Angle. That's going to be a match at WrestleMania. It looks like now that's how they're going to get these guys. That's how they get these guys to hate each other. That's how they needed a storyline. How does Triple H and Kurt Angle? Obviously, they got a history, but they needed to make it more recent. Well. How can these two guys hate each other out of nowhere? Well, there it is. He pedigreed his son, and that's why they brought him, that storyline into it, him being his son, right? The son storyline to me is kind of making sense now with what we saw on Monday night with Triple H saying he's in the Survivor Series match and he pedigrees Jason Jordan.
And hopefully, for both of their sakes, because it's not working as his son, hopefully this leads to a change in character, a turn from Jason Jordan. Maybe he costs Angle the match on Sunday, because you got to get to Mania first, right?
Yeah.
If the plan is Angle, Triple H. Plus, last week, Stephanie, kind of cut off Kurt's manhood a little bit, cut him down in the ring. My biggest frustration with that storyline, granted we're 2 weeks in, is if you replaced Mick Foley, who I thought did a wonderful job as GM on Raw, and he couldn't wrestle and he's at a different point in his career, life, as a performer, you replace Angle with Mick Foley. There's no difference in how they're treated. Angle, as this gold medalist, a guy who still wrestles, still competes, should be treated differently in that role. It shouldn't be the same person treated the same. So I've been a little frustrated. Hopefully it changes where Angle starts to show a backbone. How could you not show? He's a gold medal winner. That's the whole gimmick behind who he is. So I really hope that, they show a little bit more of a backbone in Kurt. But I think Jason Jordan, I would imagine, plants the seed where he starts to turn on, I hate to say this, his father. You know, as ridiculous as that sounds.
It's a ridiculous storyline.
Yeah.
But, you know, to mix the two, Triple H, you know, to mix that AJ Styles, Jinder Mahal situation with the Triple H situation, Triple H, it's been announced, is going to fight Jinder Mahal for what, a one-night event in India?
Yes.
Is that what they're doing?
Yes.
They're going to fight? Did that have anything to do with taking the... See, I'm just so confused by that. Wouldn't you want him to be the champ?
In
Jinder
India.
Mahal?
Right.
For that match? And are we ruling out that he wins it back before that? Jinder Mahal.
He could... I would
have... Like, what's next for Jinder Mahal now?
Great question. Nothing at the Survivor Series, right? Which is very interesting that he has nothing to do right now. I assume he wins that Triple H match. The crowd goes wild. It's too bad. I actually like Jinder Mahal a lot. I think the Singh brothers are arguably two of the most fun guys to watch. They're pesky. They're annoying. They take these crazy bumps, and I think they do a wonderful job. But I would have loved to switch the roles. Like, I think they just went a little too heavy too soon on Jinder. Like, if you switched, if Styles was world champ all this time and Jinder had been United States champion, I think he's much more believable, that ascension to the top, right? You're not tired of him yet because it's a secondary belt. But to rush him into the world title... And I think he's great. I think he's a great interview. He looks great. His matches aren't always fantastic, but he wrestles the same match quite often. But I think they would have been so much better off switching those roles, mm-hmm. making him the U.S. champ. You can still do that, too.
You can.
Jinder as the United States champ, especially with that anti-America persona, it would be perfect. As the United States champion, it would make so much more sense. He wasn't ready, and it's not a knock on him. He wasn't ready for the world title. He didn't have the matches to back it up. His SummerSlam match with Nakamura was weak. Every match, I actually kind of liked it, ended with Singh brother interference. They had the great Kali appearance. They had that awful, that was in the awful Punjabi prison match with Randy Orton. It was just, I mean, you can't put that in a main event crowd in Philly. They're going to eat it up and spit it out, and that's what they did. So I think that you take a step back with Mahal to take a step forward,
mm-hmm.
but I'd love to see him involved with Baron Corbin. I'd love to see a triple threat match, maybe with the titles on the line, because you're right. Why are none of these titles on the line? That's my biggest issue with Sunday, and the card's loaded, right? But Danny, why are they fighting? Like, that's got to be a storyline. And in the UFC, I can always tell you why guys are fighting. It's so realistic. One of the reasons I like Brock Lesnar so much, he's a fighter, right? He wants to fight. He wants to win. The point of this should be to win. I think it's so beyond frustrating that there's no stakes on the line. And my column today on SI, the Wednesday column, I just mentioned the fact that the most infuriating part of the Survivor Series is, or the fatal flaw, if you will, there's no stakes. Make it the main event at WrestleMania. If you can't do that, and I get why you can't do that, storylines change, make it the number 30 spot at the Royal Rumble. You could give that to anybody, right? If SmackDown wins that 5-on-5 match,
mm-hmm.
they get the number 30 spot, and they can figure out who they're going to give it to. You don't have to give it to a certain guy. So you have months to figure that out, but at least that gives the Survivor Series some kind of meaning. Plus, it's so frustrating when they talk about it's the only time. Man, I wanted to...
Yeah, they say it's the only pay-per-view where they mix.
Until January.
Yeah.
It's like, are you kidding me?
And until Jesus. WrestleMania, right?
And then Mania. It's like, are you kidding me? And then there's always a one-off here and there.
Well, that's why I don't like the brand split. I don't like it at all. I think it's foolish. I can understand why they do it, but to do it for the... I mean, there's a reason why they did it before and then they got rid of it, right? Now, I assume that at some point they're going to get rid of it again and then maybe go back to it. So I guess I can understand the logic behind it, but just as a fan, what I like to watch, I do not like the brand split. And when it comes to the titles on the line, I guess we could sit here and wonder why they're not on the line, but I guess we kind of know the answer, even though we asked the question. We have to ask the question.
Right.
We kind of know the answer because I think we talked about WrestleMania and how, you know, the final match wasn't a championship match. And the WWE Championship, what was it, Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt? That match was like the fourth to last match of the night.
And that was a flop on top of that,
right? That used to be the final match. That's what you knew you were getting. You knew the final match was the main event, and it was for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. At every pay-per-view, it's not like that anymore because they don't value the belts like me and you want them to value the belts.
Can you imagine asking Steve Austin, hey, you're going to be champ, we're going to run with you, but there's another champ who wrestles the next night? Well, say that to Hogan, right? Say that to anybody.
Yeah.
How do you be the guy if there's two of you? You can't have two guys. So I think that actually killed Dean Ambrose. When he won the belt, they had the brand split. Then you have two champions. Well, the expression in wrestling is you strap a rocket to him and you go with him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with two guys.
No.
They just get in each other's way. You need one champion. I don't even mind the brand split so much. I'd still have one champion, though. Have them do both, sure. Both brands.
Have the champion do both.
Yep. You want one champion. You need one. It's better for the business when you have one, even if it's an older guy, even if it's Goldberg last year, right? Even if it's Roman Reigns, somebody we don't want as champion necessarily. If it's Brock and he's not around, man, it's special when that guy's around. You need one champion. I'm with you 100% on that. You need one champ, not two.
And if you're going to have two, when they do fight each other at a pay-per-view, at one of the major pay-per-views, put the belts on the line.
So when
put them on the line.
When Lesnar wins on Sunday, which I don't think he loses, I'm actually excited to see that match because it should tell a great story, right? Another part I wrote about in the column is, I mean, to me, that's such a great opportunity for storytelling because you can have Lesnar, it makes perfect sense. He's going to get on top and ground and pound Styles. How does Styles get off of him? How does Styles become the bigger man? He won't become the bigger man, but he shows he has the bigger fight. To me, that's a great story. But say Lesnar wins that match, so what? It doesn't matter, right? You're going to devalue one of the two guys no mm-hmm. matter what. But I just don't understand what's at stake. And it's very easy. Add up the match totals. Whoever wins the most gets the 30 spot at the Rumble. You're building to another pay-per-view. No one's going to have an issue with that. Give me something, some kind of supremacy. I want what's at stake? And right now, there's not a whole lot.
So where are we going with AJ Styles? Where does he go? Even if, let's say, he loses this match to Lesnar, he's still going to be the WWE champion. Where does that leave him? Like, what is his future in this business? Because you watched that pay-per-view not too long ago where you had the illnesses and they had to make a shake-up there and they actually had Finn Balor versus AJ Styles.
Had Styles do the job, too,
And at the end, you know, they gave the two sweet in the middle, sort of recognizing that they're both former members and leaders of the Bullet Club, and they acknowledged that, and they kind of acknowledged it in the play-by-play where they said, oh, they're both members of a very prestigious club.
In Japan, right?
In Japan,
right.
They did say that. They did acknowledge it, but one thing I wanted them to do, I wanted them to use that storyline as part of it all, right? I wanted them to mix that in, and they didn't.
It was a one-off, really.
That was it.
Yeah.
But what someone like myself, and I don't know, maybe you are too, I'm asking for that to be an angle, to be a storyline. Oh, they were both in New Japan. They were both, you know, they don't even have to say New Japan. They could say in Japan. They were part of the club, like these leaders of a club, and now they collide. Like, where is that storyline? Why aren't we going there yet?
Gallows and Anderson alone, standalones, can't do it. But when they're with somebody, when they're behind Styles, if they were behind Balor, man, they're fantastic. Some guys are meant to be in the supporting cast. That's not an insult.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's what you're designed to do. You enhance the product when you do it, and everybody makes more money. The business comes down to making money. I don't know why. I think merchandise with Balor, they want him as a babyface. They want him as a good guy. Why AJ Styles isn't leading the club, I have no idea. I think that a part of the problem with Styles is he's not their guy. He's talented, and they love him. He's 40, AJ.
He's 40, yep.
I just don't think, from the way he's presented every week, he's not Roman Reigns. He's not presented as... It's all about presentation in wrestling. AJ Styles, to me, is nothing more than a transitional champion. Now, at first, I thought last week that meant he was going to go back to Jinder Mahal. I question that now. It still could, and you could do Jinder Cena at Mania, which maybe that's their plan. Because, again, that's a big question mark. What's the plan for Jinder?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's totally out of the title picture yet. Maybe he interferes in that match on Sunday, gives Styles an out if he loses, because they still have unfinished business. But I just think Styles is, no matter how long he holds it, he is nothing more than a workhorse and
that's
transitional champion.
That's a shame.
Because I'd hope on Sunday, I'd love to see Nakamura be the sole survivor. I'd love to see Styles go to a draw with Lesnar, right? Do something where you don't devalue AJ Styles, because he already did by losing to Balor. Then Balor gets destroyed the next night by Kane, which is, I mean, that's mind-boggling. That's insane.
Why is Kane even around? Like, why do they keep bringing Kane out to do shit? I don't understand. I don't get it. He's horrible. And he's old as dust. If all these other guys are 37 or 40 years old, how old is Kane? He's got to be close to 50. He's got to be already 50, right?
We just had the 20-year anniversary of Kane, his creation of WWE. He's been around since, what, 94, 95? So it's not like he's new to the WWE either. I don't know why. I think that they wanted to build, you know, Braun Strowman with this Kane match. I thought Monday was the end of Monday was frustrating. I know it popped, the ring broke. They went through the ring, but we just did that stuff with Big Show three times. You can only do it. You can only go to the well so many times.
Yeah.
You're running the same play. Eventually, yeah. It's like I've seen it before, and I can't get excited for something when I just saw it a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, I hope that Nakamura goes over in that match. You could go with Samoa Joe. You could go with, I don't think they go with Bobby Roode. To me, and I was criticized for this when I wrote it, and I'm not happy that it's right so far. Bobby Roode right now is nothing more than a ring robe and an entrance. That's all he's been. The matches with Ziggler
and
have
he's not even really an entrance because they kind of bury that too.
Tone it down. I mean, go with the guy. So Roode's done nothing. I hope Nakamura wins on Sunday. I'd love to see him be the sole survivor. Like, it's fun to see Nakamura Triple H. We can see that. We can see Nakamura Finn. We can see Nakamura Joe. We can see Nakamura Braun. That should be stuff where I'm guessing on Sunday it's a test run for WrestleMania. Can we go with these guys? Because ideally, you end Mania with Nakamura Styles, which I don't think they will for a couple reasons, because they fought at Wrestle Kingdom. Why are you taking somebody else's product when we're the industry leader?
Yeah.
From WWE's perspective. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's...
They'd rather have one of their guys from a Reigns or a Cena or even a Lesnar fight one of those guys.
And I think that Lesnar Reigns 100%. I'd be shocked if that doesn't end Mania. The only wild card in WrestleMania upcoming in New Orleans is... How does Daniel Bryan fit in? Now that because ticket sales are down, they're not moving the network subscriptions as they hoped. I'm sure anybody wants to keep moving more and more and more. How obviously Cena, I genuinely wonder if they can fill a house without John Cena.
We'll get back to the Daniel Bryan stuff and we'll even talk about, you know, what the impact of something like how they're using Bobby Roode and how that impacts some other guys who could be thinking about coming over. We'll get to some of those names. But you mentioned John Cena. He was initially... He's part of the shakeup in the main event, which is Lesnar now versus AJ Styles. Originally, it was going to be Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal with John Cena as the special guest referee, right?
And I love the fact that Cena was just on Raw, just worked a pretty good program with Roman Reigns. It was entertaining. Kind of got the better Reigns in the mic. They both look good in the end, right? Cena goes away.
Which, by the way, I don't know why they didn't save that for WrestleMania, because the buildup was awesome. Because they were both, you know, Cena was talking about how Reigns was terrible on the mic, which he is. Reigns fired back by saying, you know, you're everything that you said you weren't going to be when you shit on The Rock. All of a sudden you took off to film some movies. It was perfect. I don't know why they didn't save that for WrestleMania, but I mean... You know, Cena was supposed to be the special guest referee. Now he's in this Survivor Series match. It's almost like he doesn't even really want to be there. He just has to be because they're making him do something, which isn't a good look
John,
for anyone.
Need you. They need to sell tickets. John Cena does move the needle in terms of ticket sales. I don't understand why he's on Team SmackDown. He was just on Raw. I know he's a free agent. I feel like this is a vent session. But why is Cena on? He was just on. It makes no sense. It just literally, and that's our fault, right? It's our fault for trying, and shame on us for trying to apply logic to an illogical business. But I hope Randy Orton turns on Cena in that match.
You need to put that line in your bio on Twitter. I love it. I love it. I'm not trying to knock you for using it all the time, but it is a great... It's a great line, and it's your line. You better own that line. When you go home, first thing you do tonight is put that on your Twitter bio.
Trying to apply logic to an illogical business.
Yeah.
It puts it all in perspective. I'd love to see Orton, you know, turn on Cena. I know we've seen that those two work a program a million times, but Orton needs some kind of life. And I wonder, too, and this is a good transition into Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, how do you have the biggest program on SmackDown not be featured in Survivor Series? They just had this incredible, it went a little too long, but incredible match. Hell in a Cell, Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon, Shane risked life and limb jumping off the cage. WWE, incredibly, they just can't help themselves. They work some local media, some national media into thinking Shane's actually hurt. It's amazing they pushed that story. He was okay, thankfully. And now you have nothing to do with Owens and Zayn? Like, what is the plan?
Yeah, Zayn interrupted the match. He pulled Kevin Owens off the table.
Story.
And now what? They got sent home. Why did they get sent home? So there was a European tour.
Yes.
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, who have been, you know, tag teaming, coming out together. They're friends now because Sami Zayn saved them from the Shane McMahon jump off the top of the cage. And they had a European tour, and WWE sent Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens home from the tour. What did they do to be sent home?
So part of that story is, and I think there's always more to the story, right? But they were sent home last week. The term in wrestling is feeding. They weren't feeding for the New Day. Zayn's lost that match to Kofi Kingston, and they were supposed to have a beatdown after at the hands of the New Day, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
So Sami Zayn lost to Kofi Kingston
right.
in a singles match. New Day was supposed to come in afterwards and beat him up,
correct.
Which they did, right?
Yes.
Or no?
No, Owens and Zayn left. So they didn't do what they were supposed to do. In my opinion, and I'm still working on verification for this, Danny, there has to be more to that story, which I know there has to be. I'm just looking for verification on, I think it comes down to creative. They're not, and I don't blame them. If you have any kind of leverage, you know, Nia Jax, we reported that Nia Jax walked out of the company after she spoke with her cousin, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, when she said, I don't want to lose. I don't like the way the direction of my character. Dwayne said, leave. If you have leverage, and so few people do, you should walk. Kevin Owens doesn't have a lot of leverage. He has a little bit. Sami Zayn has less, but he's working with Owens, so he's a little more. If you're unhappy with the direction of your character, you have to stand up and play by your terms. You can't do it every week, but every major star in wrestling, every major star in wrestling, it's quieter with Cena, but he did it too. From Hogan to Austin, Hogan to Brett to Austin, they all played by their terms. If they didn't like something, they said so, and they wouldn't do it. And wrestling's cutthroat. There's only so many spots up top, so I think it's more creative with Owens and Zayn. I'm still working on that. I thought it was interesting in the column today, the Wednesday column, Jimmy Jacobs, who was just fired by WWE with that selfie with the Bullet Club during the Raw invasion. We've been lead interview with him tomorrow, and he talks about how it's a misunderstanding that Owens and Zayn are professionals, and they are. They know exactly what they're doing. Then again, if you work for WWE, Danny, right, you play by their rules. They don't like something, they send you home. I'm curious if we haven't watched SmackDown yet. I'm curious if they can turn that into an angle, too, that they were unhappy. Why not turn that into
reality?
They
might as well, right?
They might as well, which means they probably won't, but they might as well. Why not? Add some reality to your show.
Well, another angle that I actually don't understand, and I don't mean to make this out to be a bunch of storylines that I don't understand that I'm asking you to come in and clarify, but this is one that I just really don't understand. It's the Shield. Like, when did this happen? And how did this happen? And why are they not acknowledging that Seth Rollins, the only reason the Shield had to have a reunion is because Seth Rollins turned his back on him and you know, joined the Authority with Triple H? Like, they never even acknowledged that, right? And why didn't they have this ultimate moment of, you know, in the ring during a pay-per-view, somebody comes in and saves the other two? Like, why didn't they have that one moment where they reunite? When did this happen? How did I miss it?
They actually did do a nice build of Rollins and Ambrose week after week on Raw.
I know that. But when did Roman Reigns come and decide that, hey, it's going to be a Shield reunion? Like, how does it just happen like that? It should have been one major moment in the ring at the end of a match where maybe Roman Reigns saves them. That didn't happen, right?
No. But again, it's everything. You said, why would they have Cena? It answers your question about Cena Reigns, too. Why didn't they save that for Mania? Well, it's all a build to get Roman to Mania. How do you get Roman to Mania? How do you get him well-liked? The Cena thing worked. Now they're doing the Shield reunion, which I'm not in love with, but it's working. I don't like the fact they're taking two steps back to take one forward, but I don't know. It feels like they're just going back in time because they know it's going to work. It's all everything. And this is why I think Styles is a transitional champion, because all eyes are on Roman. All eyes are on Mania. It's how do we get Roman to Mania? How do we get Roman to Mania? How do we get him popular at WrestleMania? Mm-hmm. How do we get him to finish Mania again? Because we've seen it a few times now, right? I don't know. And I think that it's the Shield reunion. Add that to the list of ways they're trying to get Roman to WrestleMania. Do you want to see him? Do you want to be, you know, compelled by these matches? Again, you could have had a Shield triple threat at WrestleMania. That would have been great, tying in the realistic storylines with Seth Rollins. Rollins and Ambrose are ice cold right now. I don't know. Does this help them? Time will tell. But I'm actually excited for that New Day Shield match for one reason. And I think we talk about ages, right? We talk about older talent. They get a world champion in that match. And it's not Roman Reigns. It's Big E. He's funny. He's a good guy, right? He's a baby face. There's no likable protagonist. Every good guy gets booed, right? Like, they tried it briefly with Jason Jordan. He got booed out of the building. Big E is so talented. He's fun to watch in the ring. He's got a unique body. He's got a legit background in football and bodybuilding, weightlifting rather, excuse me. I would love to see Big E pin Roman Reigns on Sunday. That to me shows they have some long-term thinking. Big E could
That's not going to happen. That's like, come on.
Big E could be
Justin, that is not going to happen. Listen to the things we're talking about with Roman Reigns.
Big E should be world champ. He is so talented. He's funny. He's one of the guys who would sell tickets as world champion.
Do you know who world champion should be? And this is going to be a very unpopular opinion in the wrestling world. But do you know who the world champion should be? Do you know who? WWE.
Which title? Which title? Give
me the best title that you have. All Universal, right. WWE. They should put both titles on this guy. And it's a very unpopular opinion. I know it's going to be in the wrestling world, but do you know who the best in the business is?
I'd say AJ Styles.
The Miz. The Miz, to me, is the best. He comes out on Raw, and you can't stop watching.
Yeah.
I maybe he's not great in the ring. I don't know. But is he bad enough to the point where you can't put him in the big matches? I just don't think so. I think his personality, his on-the-mic skills, the fact that he gets in there on Miz TV, and he brings that real life... some of the things that he says, you know, he brings real life into it. What's the word that you use for that?
Authenticity?
In wrestling? No, isn't there what's the word that people
breaking kayfabe?
Yeah, that's it. That, I mean, you break that. So that's what The Miz does. I just think he's the best. And they should open Raw up every single week with him. I feel like some of the main storylines that they've had recently, they've used The Miz to pump up those storylines. If he's good enough to do that, then why isn't he good enough to be the guy? I think he's the best in the biz, The Miz.
Interesting, too, that The Miz is one of the rare guys in wrestling right now, particularly WWE, who plays his role. He's not a bad guy looking for cheers. He's not trying to, you know, glorify his catchy catchphrase, you know, his sing-along catchphrase. He plays his role as a villain. He's not selling T-shirts. The Miz is very unique in 2017 wrestling because even the bad guys are cool, right? Especially the bad guys are cool. Miz isn't trying to be that cool. He's trying to be someone you want to boo. He is an old school throwback. If you like The Miz, Danny, even more likable, and I like The Miz a lot, actually, and you make an interesting point, too. Wouldn't it be awesome if that Lesnar-Styles match, say the winner won both belts? How badass would that be if somebody came on Raw the next Monday or SmackDown the next Tuesday with both belts? Talk about supremacy. Yeah. You can have a rematch at the Rumble, too, so it would be an easy tie-in. But if you like The Miz, and I'll send you the link. I'll post it on my Twitter. WWE produced a really fun video on The Miz's dad. You like The Miz. The Miz's dad's 10 times cooler. It's a really funny video. I'll post it on your Twitter tonight, and people can enjoy it. But he is The Miz's... You can see where he gets his charisma. But
The Miz has had an interesting career because it wasn't too long ago that he headlined WrestleMania against John Cena. That he entered WrestleMania, The Miz entered WrestleMania as the champ, right? And he lost the belt in that
28.
He lost the belt in that match.
No, he beat Cena because of The Rock.
Did he beat Cena? Oh, The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock was the special guest referee.
That started The Rock. That started The Rock versus Cena. Either way, the fact that The Miz was in that match, then he kind of ended up being a nobody.
Daniel Bryan's return match, obviously he has to win, but Bryan's return match should be with The Miz. That's a great rivalry. Actually, The Miz and I have had some pretty good interviews. It was funny. We had one, and they were a couple months apart, and I asked him, I said to him, I think you're the biggest underdog, because Bryan wasn't wrestling. You're the biggest underdog in pro wrestling. The Miz came from reality television on MTV. He has no business being lasting this long. He outlasted guys who he shouldn't have outlasted. He married this beautiful woman in Maurice. He's done everything there is to do in wrestling. They rushed the world title on him. He's even better now. And I said to him, he was also thrown out of the locker room. And it's stories they don't want to tell because I think Benoit was involved, JBL. So it's not a good look for your company when you have hazing, right? So they don't want to get into it. But he was thrown out of the locker room. He had a change in bathrooms in the hallway. He's a great, legitimately great underdog story.
Can you get what happened there with... I don't know that story. I don't know those stories. Give me one. What happened?
I think that the story is, and it's funny, I've asked him this in interviews, and he politely didn't want to get into it, but I don't know, he's eating a chicken sandwich, and he got crumbs on Benoit's bag. It's a ridiculous story.
Think he should feel pretty lucky right now. He got some crumbs on Benoit's bag, and he's here to talk about it. Holy shit. I mean, come on.
Well, there's wrestler's court, and if you can get the guys on the right days, the wrestler court stories are incredible.
he got Benoit on the right day. I'll tell you that. I didn't know either of them personally, but I'll tell you right now, he got Benoit on the right day.
Wrestler's court, the judge, jury, and executioner.
He got crumbs on his coat. What? Really? Like, those are the stories that pissed people off back then?
How about the Young Bucks? Their WWE tryout, they moved Booker T's coat in the locker room. And that allegedly, like the Young Bucks are such a success story. They were kind of, nobody wanted to touch them for a long time. And they forced you to like them, right? They're so talented, so good.
But I think we talked about this before, but not really.
We should dedicate a whole show to Wrestler's Court, by the way.
They moved Wrestler's Court. Tell me more.
Undertaker was the judge. And
I kind of knew a little of that, but go a little bit in depth.
So when you had, if you were cheap, like Teddy Long was cheap in the locker room, they'd take you to court. And I imagine there's a reason it doesn't exist anymore. It was the worst place to be on stage in wrestler's court. Triple H was the bailiff. Kane was the bailiff.
And they weren't fucking around. Like, this was real.
I don't think it's a place you or I would want to be in wrestler's court. Yeah.
So, and what happened? Like, what was the worst punishment? Like, what?
I know a lot of times it was cases of beer and things of that. You'd pay the tolls.
Oh, all right.
But when you're thrown out of the locker room, like, that's your livelihood, right? They're trying to get you out of the business. And in wrestling, there's a term called selling, right? So do you sell? Like, in the match, everybody talks about selling.
Yeah.
But you can't sell backstage, because once they know they have you, once they know they have you beat, it's like any other business, right? Wrestling, people say, oh, it's an unfair rap. It happens everywhere. But it's also, it doesn't make it any better, right? Hazing in the locker room, that definitely happens in pro wrestling, like it does in every sport. Justin Roberts' book went into that in pretty good detail, I thought. It did a nice job of, because he got beat up. I mean, he got his passport, you know, flushed down a toilet. That's serious stuff. That's, you know, you don't get back in the country with that. It's like, oh, that's...
It's not like that anymore, though, right? I mean, this is a different culture, that locker room. It's more video games. Because you see, I mean, on YouTube, I mean, these guys are playing video games, right? And so,
that's what they want you to believe. And B, I think, in general, it is, you have more of a...
Do they still have wrestler's court right now?
They do not.
I can't even say it with a straight face.
Right?
They do not. When did that begin? Because you told me a story about The Undertaker in WrestleMania 14 for the Stone Cold Shawn Michaels match, where Shawn Michaels was the champ and Mike Tyson was involved, and they told Shawn that he had to give up the belt and he wouldn't do it, right? And The Undertaker, before the match, had to go to Shawn Michaels and say, what was the story there? He said, you better do it or I'm going to kick your ass right now.
And then Taker goes and tapes up his hands, sat at the gorilla position, which is right by the curtain. Watch the match. Match ended. Untaped his hands. Goes back. It's a great story. And
so he was sitting there with his hands taped as Shawn Michaels walked by him to go to the ring.
Yes.
And that's
ready
how Shawn Michaels knew, well, if I don't take the fall in this match, if I don't lose this match, then The Undertaker's going to beat the shit out of me afterwards.
And I love that story because Shawn, you know, didn't want Tyson to put the shirt over him, the Austin 316 shirt over him, drape it over him at the end. And I guess Michaels blew up afterward that they did, but... It's all show.
What would they have done if Shawn Michaels... What would they do if a guy was like, you know what? I'm not going to lose this match. And he kept kicking out. What would they do? How would they end that? What would they do?
I don't think there's a whole lot you can do in the ring to fix it, but there's a whole lot you could have done backstage to fix it. And I think that's
why...
Well, the match
would never end, right?
Right.
They'd say, how are we going to end this? And they would keep going. And the match would never end.
They could bring the belt. That's a great question. What would they have done, right? I think the closest thing, and we just celebrated... We just did the 20-year anniversary of the Montreal Screwjob. Like, it's so fascinating.
I had a party. You didn't have a party for that?
I did not have a party for that. Okay. Bret Hart was at the Rhode Island Comic Con this past weekend. You wonder, though, like, if he got his hands on Shawn. Now, allegedly, Shawn didn't know when they sold that story for a long time. But if a guy truly doesn't want to lose, I mean, it's bad for business, though. And you got to be very unprofessional to take it to that point.
Now... I can't get over the wrestler's court. So you mentioned Montreal Screwjob, and I know we talked about this before.
One of the most insane stories.
You still think that was real? Think that was real?
I do.
As the years went on,
it aged
and it
well.
Became more of a, well, let's, hey, we're WWE. Let's remind you about the Montreal Screwjob, the 20th anniversary of the Montreal Screwjob. The more they play it up, the more I look back and go, well, wait a minute, maybe it wasn't real, and maybe they just got us with a good one.
The fact that Brett is naked for half the encounter with Vince, I can't imagine they're thinking that this is going to last. And
now you have to clarify that story
to
people that don't know. You mean behind the scenes when Brett and Vince actually had a fist fight after
right.
that.
Brett went back to the locker room, showered. Undertaker actually goes to Vince's office, pounds on his door, says... You better show your face.
And this wasn't wrestling court. This was real life.
And the best part of that story to me is Vince comes in the locker room with his team, with Sergeant Slaughter, with Shane McMahon, with his guys, and basically calls Brett out. And I think that Hart, at least from Hart's story, is, and we did a story this a couple of years ago with Brett. Brett said that he couldn't believe that Vince would call him out in front of, and this is his world, right? This is Brett's, his locker room.
Sure.
And Brett was naked because Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog, would always finish his match before Brett, would always forget a towel, would always go through Brett's stuff, grab his towel, use it. So Brett had no towel. So Brett thought if he was going to fight him, and this is, I think, a funny story, Brett said that he would, at the very least, like to have some pants on during the fight, because just what an odd fight if he's wrestling this guy. He's wrestling Vince McMahon naked.
Sure.
So he put pants on, which is actually a big part of the story, because if you're wearing a shirt in that spot, they could hold you back. Brett's not wearing a shirt when he pops McMahon. So you wonder if he was wearing a shirt, if somebody would have grabbed him before, grabbed, you know, his sleeve and held him back. But I do believe the Montreal Screwjob.
We've gone down a road that I didn't mean to bring it down, but you bring up Wrestler's Court, and I say the Bret Hart Vince McMahon, I say, well, that's real life. Well, Wrestler's Court actually is real life, too. It's just not as, it just doesn't get as crazy as a fist fight like Vince McMahon and Bret Hart did after the Montreal Screwjob. But
that's back, wrestling, though. That's
but back to The Miz. But I mean,
even The Miz ties into it, too.
So wait, The Miz was eating a chicken sandwich, spilled crumbs on Chris Benoit's jacket, and
In his bag,
and Chris Benoit said, that's it, we're going to Wrestler's Court, and they called The Undertaker and Kane and Triple H in the room, and what did they do then?
I'm going to have to research the Miz scenario. I don't even know, that may have just been a quick decision that he was thrown out of the locker room, but I think I should look this up. It was Benoit, JBL, I will look this up. The next time we do a podcast, we'll go a little deeper in depth.
Wrestler's Court.
However,
I need you to come back with just... I want to do an hour straight of Wrestler's Court stories. I want top 10 Wrestler's Court stories. I want you to write a column on it, but I want you to do the podcast first, and then you write the column. But no, you can do it any way you want.
But Danny, I think it's interesting. That's the thing about it wouldn't happen in pro basketball. It wouldn't happen in baseball. It doesn't happen in the NFL. In pro wrestling, probably why I can write about it, right? Because the best stuff happens behind the curtain. The best stuff, WrestleMania 30. I love that scene. Austin comes out first, and then Hogan first, then Austin, then The Rock. I love Austin's story. He was supposed to come out last, and he wanted to. He was bullshit that he didn't. I love that story. Like, I think that's a great story. Wrestling is one of those rare sports where a rare sports entertainment where it's arguably more exciting than stuff we don't see.
Yeah.
Very rare.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple more for you before I let you go. And this is, well, you know what? It's not really getting away from WWE, but at the same time, it is. Let me ask this question. Justin, what's the biggest story in pro wrestling right now? Is it the Survivor Series and the shakeups that we just talked about? Or is it Chris Jericho going to New Japan Pro Wrestling and fighting Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom in January? You know, and I've told you many times that I think Kenny Omega's the best in the biz. I know I just said Miz was the best in the biz, but I guess I meant WWE. When you factor both New Japan and WWE in, I think Kenny Omega is the best in all of professional wrestling, and yet he finds himself still in Japan. His contract is ending soon, right? In January of 2018.
In January,
and,
right.
And so now you have this situation where Chris Jericho, who was just recently in the WWE, all of a sudden appears on New Japan Pro Wrestling, challenging Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom, which is their WrestleMania at the Tokyo Dome in January. And this is a blockbuster match. This is an event that combines WWE and New Japan sort of in, I call it a main event, even though their main event at Wrestle Kingdom is probably what? The Okada fight.
Okada Naito
for the championship, IWGP Heavyweight Championship. But in reality, you want to talk about, you know, back here in the U.S., and you want to bring WWE in with Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega is something that, you know, I didn't think we would, I didn't think we'd see a match like that in New Japan. I thought if it needed to happen, it would have to happen where Kenny Omega goes to WWE, but that's not happening. So what's the biggest story? Is it all the stuff we just talked about with Survivor Series and the major shakeups, or is it Jericho going to fight Kenny Omega in New Japan Pro?
I mean, the heartbeat of pro wrestling is the industry leader in WWE, but the blood flow comes from the independents, and New Japan's far from an independent, but everything on the outside, right?
Everything else.
Of that outside that universe and a parallel universe outside the WWE. I think it's a huge story, though, and I think it's bigger. Like, unless it was at Madison Square Garden at a major show, it would, even on a Mania, it just wouldn't have the spotlight Jericho Omega that it'll have in Tokyo at the Tokyo Dome. Jericho actually got criticized for that comment. I have no idea why. I think the match is immensely bigger, the fact that it's in Tokyo, the fact that it's in the Tokyo Dome. I think that adds so much to that match. If it was at Mania, it'd be a middle of the card, might open the show. I don't know. I just don't think it would have that same impact in America, in WWE. I think Jericho is extremely smart. I think it shows a lot of business sense by Omega. You got to be smart in wrestling, right? It's a cutthroat business. You got to be a performer, an entertainer, a speaker, a talker, and a businessman. He was going to fight Ibushi. that was the match building to the American audience, to the hardcore American audience.
Means nothing.
Right. But to the hardcore American audience, they want to see it. They'll enjoy it. But you want to appeal to the...
For Kenny Omega.
Right.
Not for the other guy.
You want to appeal... Well, they do have a long feud. It would make sense. But that's more of a hardcore, passionate fan.
Yeah.
You want to appeal to a broader audience.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jericho? That's fantastic.
Huge.
And then for Jericho, what does it mean for him? This is why I think there's a return match. They're back in March in L.A., I'd be shocked if it's smart they announce this as a one-off. Because if it's a one-off...
New Japan's back in L.A. in March.
Yes, it's smart. We should go. It's smart that Jericho... It's a one-off because if it's more than a one-off, Jericho wins. Now it's a one-off. He probably comes, does the favor, loses, and it's over. But if now he surprises everyone, wins, you have the return bout in March in L.A., you could headline the show with that.
And then you know where you have the trilogy.
Where's that?
WrestleMania. Hey, you laugh.
Yeah.
Well, Kenny Omega's contract's up in January.
And I would think that Jericho's probably signing deals up too. Like, he's not signing a year deal. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm hoping to do a piece of Jericho soon. But I would think he's doing it like up till he signed through January 5th, let's say.
That's Jericho.
Right, Jericho.
I'm talking about Omega.
Omega signed to the end of the month. They sign yearly contracts with New Japan.
Last year...
Right.
John Cena was posting Instagrams with Kenny from South Park.
Right. Amazing.
Just a picture of him, right?
And John Cena doesn't speak unless he has something to say.
And people thought that Kenny Omega would be making his debut at the Royal Rumble. That never happened.
Right.
He's still in New Japan. His contract is up in January, right? So I guess I see Jericho go over there. And the first question I asked when I saw that, no lie, I said, when's the story come out that Vince McMahon bought New Japan Pro? When does that come out? Let me ask you this. Chris Jericho, does he have any contractual affiliation with WWE right now?
None whatsoever.
As he does this? Because there have been some reports that maybe he is still under contract with WWE.
None whatsoever. He's actually got a lot to gain in this, Jericho. I mean, it's a great match, right? It's going to be a good storyline. Eventually, they're going to put Omega over. You have to. He's the star. He's younger. He's the future, hopefully, somewhere in wrestling, right? Whether he stays in New Japan, goes to WWE, wins the Ring of Honor title, whatever he does, he's the future of wrestling. Jericho's 46, 47, so definitely on the back nine, even though he's still great. But Jericho's always, he's smart too. He's always working, right? He's got the book out. He's got more eyes on the book. He's got a cruise next year, the Jericho Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden now, you're going to go from maybe mid-tier talent on that cruise.
The Jericho Cruise.
He's going to bring some major stars from New Japan on that cruise. Mark my words. Maybe all of a sudden you can set sails with Okada and Naito. All of a sudden now you're appealing to an entirely different audience.
Yeah.
I mean, Jericho's smart. He's going to bring in the best of the best on that cruise. They might have the trilogy on that cruise, right? That might be part three. That might be, you're going to need something special. And you know who's going to be calling that match? I love this. Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross. It's fantastic. Like, what a great idea this is.
How does WWE feel about Jericho doing this?
He offered, and it's interesting because they play a big role in this. He wanted NXT on the cruise. Paul Levesque, Triple H told him no.
So he's got a cruise in which he's going to have a big ring up top.
Signings, autographs,
outside.
You name it. You can board with the wrestlers. It's going to be interesting, to say the least. And there's a lot of older stars there. There's some younger stars. But he actually proposed it to WWE. He wanted NXT on the cruise.
Yeah.
They said no. He said, I'm going to take it elsewhere. And they said, go ahead. I mean, to them, I'm sure Jericho, it's funny that the whole Survivor Series is based around older talents. But to them, Jericho's probably a guy who's nice to have around, but he's putting over younger talent. I just think maybe they miscast him a little bit. I think he could help Survivor Series, right? But then again, Jericho, for his sake, he makes himself a bigger star again by going to New Japan, working this program with Omega. Maybe in March he does something with Okada. What a cool match that would be.
Well, I guess I'm just wondering, you know, if he's still friendly with WWE, if they say, hey, you know, do what you got to do with the cruise. You're not using our NXT guys. If you want to take the Jericho cruise wherever you want and get whatever talent, go ahead. It doesn't piss us off. If you want to go to New Japan, go ahead. I mean, I guess I'm wondering...
Danny, it pissed him off. That was,
it did? The New Japan, they pissed him off?
Not Jericho. I mean, he's a free agent. You got to do what's best for you. But New Japan, it's the equivalent of, I mean, that's war, right? And there will be retaliation from WWE. There
what
always
do you mean?
Is.
What's the retaliation going to be?
It has to be.
Set in a wrestler's court? What's,
it's one of
what's
three,
the verdict?
It's one of three guys. It's Omega, it's Naito, it's Okada. If you want to hurt them, you got to go after their talent, and it's going to be interesting,
too.
Oh,
so you think they're going to steal Okada from New Japan?
And I know that, and it's interesting because we did interviews. I did interviews with Okada in Vegas a couple of years ago, and through the translator, when I asked about, you know, the idea of going to WWE, joking, he said, you know, I'm not going to ask that in Japanese. Next question. So I asked again, and he goes, unless you speak Japanese, I'm not asking that. So they're obviously very protective of Okada. I think that's the next big shoe to fall, though. And part of it is Vince McMahon happy with Shinsuke Nakamura? Because if you're going to bring over Okada or Naito, I think Okada's the guy, though. I think that's who they set their sights on. But speaking of world titles, they've had four champions. Now, granted, different guys have held the title a different amount of times.
Mm-hmm.
But New Japan's had four guys hold that title, their world title, since 2011. Naito, Tanahashi, Okada, Styles. Those four. Not Nakamura. Nakamura, actually, we can look this up, but Nakamura actually was given the Intercontinental title, which is a fairly new title, 06, 07.
I thought he fought AJ Styles for the title.
Intercontinental.
Oh, okay.
So fairly new title.
Gotcha.
Fairly new title, and they wanted him to give meaning to that Intercontinental title, which all of a sudden now, the second most important belt in that company, though, isn't the Intercontinental title anymore. It's the United States Championship.
The one Kenny Omega has right now.
In wrestling Chris Jericho. All of a sudden, so they did a really nice job with that. So only four champions since 2011.
All right, so, but Kenny Omega then. If you say they're going to take Okada from New Japan Pro, what about Kenny Omega? Is he going to make that jump? Because I guess, again, going back to how I'm asking questions about how did the WWE feel about Chris Jericho going to fight Kenny Omega? Part of me thinks that WWE's putting Chris Jericho up to this, to maybe give Kenny Omega that main event feel in the U.S. You get what I'm saying? Like, this is the response you're going to get in a main event against a guy like me, rather than somebody from Japan who some people in the U.S. don't even know. Some WWE fans don't even know. I'm going to give you a taste. We're going to give you a taste of what it actually is like to fight somebody like me and the publicity that surrounds that fight. And if you like it, you can have it whenever you want in the WWE. So come with us. Part of me thinks that Jericho was actually working with WWE when he made this move and created this match. And they're trying to give Omega the feel to say, hey, you know what? I'd like to make this leap. I'm done fighting in New Japan. I want to go to WWE.
I think it's interesting, too. And if you're New Japan, I wonder if they are cautious about this. I assume they have to be, right? It's a concern. Anytime you work with somebody, Jim Ross does commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Ross also works for WWE. Chris Jericho, you don't think guys are going to ask Jericho about WWE? What's it like there? How would they treat me?
Yeah.
I think it's a major concern, because the end game for Jericho will be in WWE again, Danny. So I would definitely be worried if I'm New Japan, just a little bit. And even Okada has been to WWE shows backstage. Granted, they were informal visits. But if that's my guy, if Okada's the face of my company, and they just got, you know, they lost Nakamura, they lost Styles, I would want to be very careful. I think another guy who would be a very interesting, I don't know, Omega would be a huge one, right? Okada, I don't think Naito would leave. I don't know. It's interesting.
All right, Omega, is he going? Is he gonna make the jump?
I think he waits and goes with the Bucks. So the Bucks had that 2 year. They signed that 2 year deal.
I think the Bucks go
eventually.
I thought they moved Booker T's coat and they had to go to Wrestler's Court and they got kicked out. Is that what you said happened to him? I'm being dead serious.
Ring of Honor didn't want him for a long time. TNA didn't want him. The Bucks have made themselves. They forced their hand. They made themselves so entertaining on the mic, on social media, in the ring. They could, and I mean this as a compliment, the Bucks could open better than anybody the best match at WrestleMania in wrestling right now. And you might say, oh, Mania's an 8-hour show, whatever it is, but the two most important matches in wrestling, it's your main event and your opener. And nobody's better than the Bucks in that match. I think, and they could also main event a major show too.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a tag team main event, a Mania. Bucks could do it. But man, what a compliment that is. It's a compliment to open Mania. If you could open Mania and set that crowd aflame, nobody, and this is, I think, one of the biggest compliments in wrestling, nobody could do it better than the Young Bucks. I think they are phenomenal.
So you think Kenny Omega goes, but he waits until the Young Bucks contract is up, and then they all come in together?
Correct.
As the Bullet Club? As a group, or that's not called the Bullet Club? That's similar to the Bullet Club, but not called Bullet Club.
Probably similar, because WWE has to put their stamp on it.
Because that would be a huge loss for them, because all they do is sell those shirts.
And if I'm...
Do they own, or does New Japan own that? Because if they own it, if the Young Bucks own it, then they could take it wherever they want, right?
New Japan...
But then it's like, well, would WWE let them bring their own brand into the company?
New
Probably
Japan
not.
Owns the creative license for Bullet Club. I don't know about the t-shirts, because they're making a killing with the t-shirts, and pro wrestling tees sells these they sell.
Yeah, the Young Bucks got the, you know, the Hot Topic deal, right? They have the Bullet Club.
I'd imagine the New Japan gets a piece of that.
Hot Topic.
But they're doing really well just in merchandise. My prediction is the first shoe to drop, if I had to make a prediction, Kushida, who's, I think he's 32, 33. He's a junior heavyweight. Mm-hmm. If I had to make a guess, anybody on that roster, WWE picks, right? Because they're going to retaliate. I would pick Kushida. I think that he's the guy that WWE would make a move on. William Regal mentioned him in the past as being super talented. He is. New Japan's great, but it's got the weight classes, which limits you as a talent. So if you're a junior heavyweight, you're a junior heavyweight.
Yeah.
If he came to WWE, I think he's a guy who does he get lost in the mix in the 205 Live crowd? I think Kushida's a guy who could, and that would definitely get New Japan's. It's like a mafia war, Danny. That would grab their attention.
So
he's talented too.
Does and this brings us back to something we mentioned off the top. You know, you mentioned the use of certain guys, you know, somebody like Bobby Roode. You know, we mentioned how AJ Styles should be headline in WrestleMania as the champ, but he's not, and he won't be doing that. The fact that you see talent like that sort of buried or not used properly, is that something that someone like Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks see and say, why would we go make that jump if we know what's going to happen? Which is that we're not going to be used properly, and here we're the stars. Do we even make that jump? I mean, do they see things like that? And does that, you know, throw a wrench into their plans maybe? Or maybe, because let's face it, everybody wants to go to WWE.
Right. Even if they say they don't, but it just means it's move on. It's not about the money.
Exactly.
It's the same
even
thing.
If they say they don't. But everybody dreams about being in the WWE, but they are making a lot of money, and they seemingly are the stars where they are. And if you're making a lot of money and you're a star where you are, and you do see other guys that aren't being used properly, does that all of a sudden prevent you from making that leap?
Absolutely. However, if you go to WWE and you leave, say you're unhappy there, Austin Aries, for instance, now you got to build this after the fact, but you're going to make more money when you leave. Jimmy Jacobs was in creative at WWE, got fired for taking a selfie with members of Bullet Club. He's making more money in the indies now than he did in WWE, right? So no matter what, you're going to come off hot.
Why is that? Because they sell their own merchandise? Why do they make more money? I would think it's the other way around. It's not? Like Cody Rhodes, I saw an interview with him the other day, or Cody, should I call him? Like Cody Rhodes, he said Rhodes. He makes more money now than he did when he was at WWE.
Part of it,
and he's a star where he is right now. He's in Bullet Club.
Right.
He's the Ring of Honor champ. You know, it's a move that
he's
I admire. And I think when he says that, I'm like, how is he making more money not in the WWE? I thought WWE is where you want to be. That's where the money is. I'm confused.
Part
by
of
that.
It's dates, so you're working less dates. So you're picking your schedule. You're going places you want to go. And they don't have to pay. They're the industry leader. They don't need to pay unless they want to pay, right? They're paying their guys, I'm sure. But if you're lost in the mix, and that's why it's so hard to say, I'm leaving, right? Like, that's why I go back to the Nia Jax thing. Good for her. Now, she has leverage with her cousin being The Rock, but you need to work your leverage, right? What if Zack Ryder had left? What if Dolph Ziggler had left? These guys are really talented guys who I actually wish Ziggler and Ryder were with The Miz. And I like the guys he's with. I like Bo Dallas. But, man, if you had those guys in the Miztourage, it would add a little bit more sizzle to it.
Yeah.
And then the Miz could kind of boss them around. It would add a lot to it. They could be tag team champions, whatever. But I think that in terms of working with WWE, they don't need to pay. They're going to pay their stars. And everybody else, you should be grateful to work there. And in their defense, they're probably right, too. You're not going to get a bigger worldwide platform than you would in WWE. It's strength in numbers. The Bucks and Omega, when they come to WWE, they'll all go together. And they have to, because if they don't, the Bucks could easily get lost in the mix. And that's not a knock on them, because I think, again, they're two of the best talent, most premier talents in wrestling. But wrestling is all about how you're booked, right? What if you're put in bad situations and bad storylines, not given time, you're given a 6-minute match, a 4-minute match? What are you going to do? The Bucks headlined with the Hardys the night before Mania this year. That was a Mania-worthy match. The Bucks are so good. I think once a larger audience sees them, I know a lot of people know them, but man, once they, if they go to WWE, which I think they will with Omega, that's going to be special.
All right, I've mentioned the WWE and you know, what I was interested in, what their role was with the Chris Jericho thing going to New Japan. Is there another aspect to it, the opposite end, where people see Jericho making that leap? And who knows, maybe they see someone like Daniel Bryan coming back to him, make that leap. And is there a part of this where people say, all right, Cody Rhodes made that leap. Omega isn't coming right now. Why don't we make that leap? You talk about making more money, having a better chance to be a star, getting noticed more. Is the other aspect of this possible where more guys, instead of, you know, instead of us talking about guys in New Japan making a leap to WWE, do people see the Jericho move, you think, and go, all right, let's make the leap with him. Daniel Bryan's going to go? Let's make the leap with him. Let me ask this. Is Daniel Bryan going to make that leap? Because WWE won't let him wrestle because of the concussions, but he's been cleared. Doctors say he's healthy. So what's Daniel Bryan going to do?
Bryan says, doctor says, for what it's
that's
worth.
That's what he
yeah.
says.
I think that's such a layered question. And you can't do what Cody did, right? And I think that there's a fundamentally flawed thinking. If you're a talent and you're thinking, I'm going to do what Cody Rhodes did. Well, Cody already did it. Right, you can't follow you can't follow the Cody path.
And
if you do, shame on you, because look at how Cody was so smart.
Unless you're in another industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
in wrestling, if you're Cody already paved his paved his path. And it's kind of a one-way street for him, especially with the last name being Rhodes. And what did Cody do? He worked kind of a goodwill tour where he worked a bunch of shows as a babyface. When it was time to turn in New York, he turned at Final Battle on Jay Lethal in a really good match. And he joined Bullet Club. So smart by Cody Rhodes. And there's a limit of guys that they don't want everybody in New Japan. They don't want to water down their product. But also, for the guys, I'm sure there's some on the fence about that, Danny. Should I leave? Should I stay? It takes, and I'm not saying one's right or one's wrong, but it takes a lot of guts to leave because the unknown. What if you fail? What if WWE doesn't want you back? The idea is always to come back better off than you left, right? But if you go out the wrong way, man, they could make your life difficult. You need to exist in WWE. So I don't get mad at guys when they don't want to leave. I get it. And Rhodes was special. Rhodes knew business-wise, I have to align myself with the Bucks and Omega. And he had a big enough name to do that. But not everybody could. Not everybody could. Plus, Bullet Club, they don't want to keep adding members. I think all those guys, granted they were young or well aware of what happened when the NWO watered down their product. If they kept the NWO four, five, six guys, three, four, five guys, it would have been so much better. How much life could they have got out of that? We're still talking 20 years later about the New World Order. And you know, it didn't even last that long, right? So it's interesting. Daniel Bryan, and this is why I don't think they let him leave for a couple reasons. I think he's so smart to he's working for his next contract right now. He keeps saying, I can't wait to go in a hair versus hair match in CMLL. I can't wait to work in the Tokyo Dome. Well, his wife, I think, is part of it. She wants to wrestle again. Her home's WWE. Bryan knows he can work this. And again, if you look at their crowds, when Cena's not on the bill, when he's not on the bulletin, when Cena's not on the show, they're struggling to consistently draw sellout houses. Daniel Bryan, it's amazing that he's the guy that they pushed aside for so long that WWE will tell you that was our whole plan all along. But it's the guy they didn't want in that role. The guy who can turn the product right now into kind of where they are now and take it to the next level is the guy they never wanted to give it to. It's Daniel Bryan. He's going to have to be healthy. He's going to have to get cleared by their doctor. I mean, there's so much that can go wrong there. They're going to need to have, I don't know how they're going to do it, but my prediction is Bryan is back with WWE. They don't let him go to New Japan. In fact, the Jericho thing, I think only exacerbates the fact that they can't let him go, right? People are starting to watch New Japan. I think it's great for Bryan. I think he re-signs. I'd love to see him win the Royal Rumble this year. Do it next year. Have a long build. I really hope that Daniel Bryan, to me, is one guy who can turn the whole industry for WWE upside down. And there's not many guys right now who can do that.
All right. Right. That's all I got. We got Survivor Series Sunday night. Justin Barrasso, Sports Illustrated. What's the next column? You got the topic? Are you just going to recap Survivor Series next week? What do you got?
Every Wednesday. So today's column is... It opens with Jimmy.
Well, you say today, it's
Wednesday.
We're recording this before SmackDown on Tuesday, just to let people know, in case something was said and something changes on SmackDown. I should have clarified that at the beginning, but now they know if they listen all the way through.
Thank you if you were listening. The Wednesday column opens with Jimmy Jacobs, who's returned as the Zombie Princess. So I think the Jacobs stuff, he goes into WWE. He talks about what he's doing now. Colt Cabana touches on his new children's book. We've got that as well. But there's just, Al Snow actually goes in detail on Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, New Japan. I think inside Al's head, we end the column with that every week, I think is fascinating. Plus, I gave you some insight on the Survivor Series. Again, the lack of stakes, which really, really bothers me. What I think stands out most about AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan If you're listening to this on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, I hope you enjoy the Survivor Series. Next Wednesday, we actually build to a Daniel Bryan interview, so I'm really excited about sharing that. And the 29th, this is kind of a personal thing, but I'm really excited because I put a little bit of time every day into the column. It does take time.
Yep.
And that's our 100th consecutive edition on the 29th. Yeah, so we'll have
Congrats.
Thank you. I haven't got there yet, but we're really excited, and that's a team effort. You know, we've got editors. Andy Graves, an executive editor at SI.
Uh-huh.
He's actually a Boston guy.
Yep.
A hardcore Boston guy, actually. Loves his Red Sox, his Celtics, his Pats, and Bruins, too. Andy's a huge advocate for wrestling at SI. We've got Dan Gartland. I'm lucky to work with a good team, too, so.
Well, stay out of wrestler's court, and you'll make it to 100, all right? That's what you get.
That's the catch,
All right, Justin, thanks a lot. Great stuff, as always, and hopefully get you on again soon, all right?
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so get this show whenever you want at DannyPicard.com. Also on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere podcasts are available. Also on the Podcast One Network. Enjoy Survivor Series. I got another show coming on Thursday of this week. I'll give you picks for NFL Week 11 and my DraftKings. Got to have them play of the week. And I'll close it out reminding you, you can go to DraftKings.com right now or download their app and play for free with my promo code PICK. That's P-I-C. See ya.